Thank you for joining us this morning on EASY's Community Focus, a look at the issues that matter and the organizations that are making a difference. I'm Ellen Jaffe, and I've got another Ellen in the studio today. I hope this doesn't get too confusing, the Ellen and Ellen Show. I am really pleased to welcome Ellen Rabb Wildman, who is the head of the Florida chapter of the National Fibromyalgia and Chronic Pain Association. And Ellen, those are some big words there. So for those who aren't aware of fibromyalgia, other than those commercials that we hear on TV where everything hurts, tell us about fibromyalgia and why this matters to you.
I like the way that sounded, the Ellen and Ellen
show. I know.
Well, that's a great intro, Ellen, because fibromyalgia matters to me because it's changed my life. It's changed my life because for the past 19 or so years, that's what my life has been filled with.
Fibromyalgia, chronic pain.
Correct. And in the beginning, I chose very purposefully not to talk about it because I did not want to be defined by my illness or because I was sick.
Right.
And many years ago, I'll say maybe, 10 years ago or so, I decided that I needed to talk about it because nobody was. And so the Florida Fibromyalgia and Chronic Pain Network, which you can find on Facebook, was founded as a result of there being very little locally to help people like me.
Okay. Now, how did you first find out that you had fibromyalgia? Because it seems like it, like you said, not a lot of people talk about it.
Right.
It seems very recent in medical history.
It's very recent. And part of that is because there's some pharmaceutical companies, who shall remain nameless, that are promoting their medications, which people can probably name, as the cure for their fibromyalgia symptoms. Mm-hmm. And only about a third of people with fibromyalgia are helped by any of the known or on-label medications that are said to help fibro. And so it's a hard-to-diagnose illness. It's a rule-out, which means that all other possible diagnoses are ruled out of the equation. So many people are tested for lupus or for different types of arthritis. Many people are tested for other rheumatological conditions. And there's also a lot of varying symptoms that go along with fibro. So not everybody's symptom set looks exactly the same.
What are as many of the symptoms as you can think of? Because like you said, there's a lot of them.
Oh, goodness. There's a lot of symptoms and a lot of people display different ones or suffer with different ones. First of all, the basic definition of fibromyalgia is chronic pain in all four quadrants of the body for 3 consecutive months. So when I say 4 quadrants of the body, that means the upper and the lower half, and it means the left and the right side.
Okay.
And so for 3 consecutive months, people need to be suffering with pain, and then the diagnosis can be made.
So, for example, if someone has back pain across their whole back and leg pain on both sides for 3 months or more, it could be fibromyalgia.
It could be fibromyalgia.
Or it could be something else.
It could be something else.
Okay. And I want to be very clear. We're
yes.
not giving any kind of medical advice today. We're talking from your experiences
right.
and about what the Florida Fibromyalgia and Chronic Pain Network is doing to help people who do have fibromyalgia and chronic pain.
Correct.
Okay.
This is in no way definitive information. This is in no way medical information. We're just talking to educate. We're talking
right.
to bring the issues to everyday conversation. And that is, there is help. You can feel better.
Okay. And awareness is one of the key things, because like you said, you lived with it for how long before you were diagnosed?
I lived with it for many, many years before a diagnosis. I went through many, many doctors and many, many tests. I even had a rheumatologist who looked at me and said that I looked cute when I cried.
Okay, I'm speechless at that.
I was stunned too. And if I felt any better than I did, I maybe would have slapped him or something. I don't know really, but that's the type of mentality that we are trying to eliminate.
It's in your head kind of thing.
It's in your head that, and the truth is, it's funny because what we say now is that you're right, it is in your head because it's considered increasingly a central nervous system issue.
And that's, again, the whole body.
The whole body.
Okay, so the chronic pain, mm-hmm. What else are some of the effects or symptoms of fibromyalgia?
Extreme fatigue. And that doesn't mean I'm tired, I can't go out tonight. It means that it's difficult to get out of bed and wash my hair. Or if I get out of bed and wash my hair and have enough energy to maybe blow it dry, then I'm back in bed. Or it means for people that they have a hard time taking care of their children. Other symptomatology can include, symptomatology of fibromyalgia, specifically difficulty with sleeping. A lot of people with fibro have apnea issues or just sleep disturbances. And one of the hallmarks of fibro is that unrefreshing sleep where you wake up in the morning and you are exhausted. You feel like you just haven't had a good sleep. And many people are surprised to hear that. But that's a hallmark of fibro.
Yeah, you're looking at my face right now because I can't remember the last time I had a good night's sleep. And I myself have been to doctors and they've sort of hinted at the possibility of fibromyalgia. You know, I've had pain, fatigue, that kind of thing where, you know, you explained it perfectly. It's not that you don't want to do something, you just physically can't move. I wasn't aware of the sleeping thing, and you're putting these things together. And I don't know how many people listening are hearing this and going, oh, that's me. Oh, that's me. Oh, that's me. What are some of the other things?
The other issues that exist with fibro are often stomach issues, are often what we call comorbid or coexisting conditions. So many people don't just have the chronic pain. They'll also have maybe IBS. Maybe they'll have other pain issues specific like interstitial cystitis. Some people will have arthritic changes. So it's not just about sleep. It's not just about fatigue. It's not just about pain. It's just about functioning in ways that are very different than one hoped their life would be.
How much do you hear about people who may have some symptoms and they say, well, it's probably just stress, or, well, I did too much exercise, or I carried my heavy bags from the grocery store, and they take a handful of ibuprofen and that's their life?
Most people start out like that, mm-hmm. because none of us want to think that we're sick.
Right.
And because most people think that that's just normal part of life.
Right.
And then it gets worse. Or then it doesn't go away. And the truth is that it does go away for many people. But for those with fibro, the pain, the fatigue, the seemingly inability to deal with stressors, even the cognitive dysfunction, that doesn't go away. And for me, the cognitive issues are oftentimes one of the most troubling. So if you think I'm off tangent a little bit, it's probably because I am.
Actually, you're doing brilliantly. Thank you.
Well, thanks.
So who is most likely to be affected by fibro?
Oh, great question. Anybody.
Okay.
I'll be specific, but okay. That is the truth. Everybody and anybody, juveniles can get arthritis. Fibromyalgia and arthritis, but fibro. It's mostly middle-aged women, which is, of course, why it was not believed in the beginning and still continues to be something that's a little bit nebulous because people say, oh, it's hormones, or oh, it's menopause, or oh, it's premenopause, or the children, or some excuse. And all of the tests that come back negative, including hormone imbalances, We're not just talking estrogen and testosterone. We're talking cortisol. We're talking about a lot of different hormones. Come back positive. And so the discomfort, the pain, the fatigue, it's all unable to be explained by other issues.
Yeah, I get the sense that it's become a catch-all. The word fibromyalgia is sort of a catch-all for a whole bunch of things that they can't diagnose as something else, so they call it fibromyalgia.
Great point. Because some people do think it's sort of like the garbage pail diagnosis.
and I'm going to guess that that doesn't make people who are feeling these things very happy with having their symptoms considered a garbage pail or the kitchen sink.
Right. And, you know, truthfully, when somebody's symptoms are unable to be explained or sort of diagnosed specifically, maybe they do have fibro. But also maybe a doctor that doesn't know what else to do says it's fibro. But I encourage you, if you're listening and if you have any symptoms we've discussed, go see a doctor and go check it out and go have numbers checked and see what's off and see if there's anything that's off. And keep looking and keep searching, because it's very common for people with fibro to go to dozens of doctors and many, many tests and for years before somebody figures out that maybe there really is something wrong.
What are the kinds of tests that help to key in on the symptoms and the factors that are involved in fibromyalgia?
I'm glad you asked that, because one of the things I was just thinking is that it used to be that we would go to rheumatologists and there would be the, was it 18, I think, tender points, and that was the diagnosis. And true that many of us have tender points, but if you notice, they're in all four quadrants of our bodies.
Right.
So typically today, since it is considered a central nervous system disorder, people go to neurologists rather than rheumatologists. And the tests that are involved, like I mentioned, are rule out. So rule out for lupus antibodies, rule out for arthritic, any kind of physical changes or changes in any of the blood work that comes back with numbers that are way off. And one of the things that we are wanting to fund is more research into what is the cause of fibro and how can we treat it. Because right now, there really is no treatment that definitively works for most people. It's about self-care. It's about self-management. It's about taking it easy. It's about exercising, which I know for some is counterintuitive, but it's really so true. It's about taking a soak in an Epsom salts bath or rubbing a salve or a balm on your body where it hurts or getting a massage or taking care of yourself. People that eat very well, or I call it clean eating, seem to do better.
Okay.
And when I mean clean eating, I mean unprocessed foods. Mm-hmm. You could even go to the organic route so that you don't get the extra pesticides and chemicals. People that are healthier seem to do better because they work at it.
Right.
So, for example, on a daily basis, I think about what I eat, and believe me, that doesn't mean I don't go for the ice cream sundae.
Right.
But it means that I try to feed that mitochondria, and I try to eat the greens, and I've been working with the same, I call her my physical therapist, but she's actually a trainer, for 13 years now.
Wow.
And I need to explain that to people because they think that it's an indulgence. And the truth is that my insurance company doesn't cover physical therapy long term.
Right.
She helps me function.
Right.
When my back hurts, we work on my back. When I can't move, we just stretch. And it's taken me a long time to actually make it to the appointments on a regular basis.
Right, right. Once again, we are speaking with Ellen Rabb-Wildman, who is the founder of the Florida Fibromyalgia and Chronic Pain Network. And also, she works with the National Fibromyalgia and Chronic Pain Association. And you've probably heard of fibromyalgia, and you may not, up until now, have known very much about it. And Ellen, you know, you're putting yourself out there, which I appreciate, as someone who has been living with fibromyalgia for a very long time. And you pointed out there hasn't been a lot of research, there hasn't been a lot known about it. And I do want to, you know, mention that there was a time, you know, within the last few decades that people didn't know a lot about breast cancer treatment, and the survival rate has gone from not so great to like 95% if it's caught early. So the research makes a huge difference.
It does.
And that's one of the many reasons that there is a Fibromyalgia Awareness Day on May 12th. What's going to be happening?
It sounds like such a mouthful when you're talking about it all, because it really is.
Yeah.
It really is. And May 12th is the National Fibromyalgia Awareness Day. And what the National Association tries to do is raise awareness in many ways. One year we had a thunderclap where everybody at the same time, is it posted on the social media, I think it was.
Right, and, okay.
And we try to, you know, get information out to the public.
Right.
This year, we're expanding our efforts to include some awareness and educational walks to raise money for research in different cities around the country, and they're called the Together Walks.
One of which is going to be here in Coral
yes,
Springs,
it is.
The inaugural event.
It is. And I am just thrilled that we're having it here. And with the support of the National Fibromyalgia and Chronic Pain Association, we are able to make this walk a reality.
Okay. And now the walk is going to be on Sunday,
right.
May 15th.
Correct.
Okay. You're kind of in charge of this, I guess, right?
I am.
All right. So what can we expect, and what would you like the community to do to support the event?
I would like the community to go on our website or on the togetherwalks.org website. Our website is crowdrise.com, togetherwalks. And I would like them to support us with an in-kind donation, a dollar donation, anything that you can afford or help with. Get a team together. Go have fun. Come out with us. Walk. And it should be a good time. We're have some plans in motion that sound really exciting to make it a fun time, make it a fun family event.
One of the things I find very interesting is that it's a 1K.
Yes.
Tell us why.
Oh, well, it's because we want everybody to be able to come out and participate. We want children to be able to walk with their parents a few yards, if that's what they can walk. Or just sit in the beauty of the park, the North Community Park in Coral Springs, and just enjoy the day. So it's not a race. It's not any kind of event where we're competing with each other, because the truth is that when we form teams, when we come out and just support the event, have fun, then we're all winning. We're all the key to helping the community.
Okay. I feel like you're getting tired. Is that correct?
You are very perceptive. That's such a great perception, Ellen, because I am. I'm fading.
Yeah. And this is part of having fibromyalgia, right?
Yes. And quite frankly, those of you listening, I am amazed that she just saw that. But you've been doing this a long time, Ellen.
I admit I am sensitive to people.
Yes.
And I read body language pretty well, and I can see the difference from when we started talking to now. And I understand that because you have fibromyalgia, mm-hmm. and this stuff is going on inside you, 20 minutes of sitting up and talking can be exhausting. And that's something that people need to understand.
And they can't see me. So right. What's happening is I'm moving around more. I'm not as comfortable just sitting in the chair. And I guess my energy is different, too.
Mm-hmm. So this is what's going on in 20 minutes. What is it like living with fibromyalgia and chronic pain 24 hours a day? Mm. How does it affect your family, your friends, you know, to see you like this?
Right.
And what do they feel compelled to do to help?
Well, quite honestly, not everybody is as, I don't know if it's intuitive or just aware as you are. I guess you work with people a lot. So some people would have no clue. And I don't walk around and tell people, oh, I'm really fading. But that's my key word to my family is I'm fading. So what's it like? Well, even though I've been told I was a great mother or still am a great mother, there were many things that I didn't do or couldn't do that I had hoped. There were many holidays that I had wished I could do have done more for or events. And I did the best I could.
Can you distinguish? So, no, mothers tend to carry guilt and tend to think that what they've done is never good enough.
Right.
So can you distinguish between the typical, oh, I could have been there more, I could have done more,
right,
and the kind of, I wish I'd done more that you're talking about?
I just wish I would have been able to do more. I was at all the events. You know, I was the band parent, and I was the PTA mom, and I was there and did it. But it was just the energy level. And you know, right now I actually have a really high quality of functioning of life, but it's just a struggle sometimes, that's all.
And when you talk about this high quality functioning, that's because of all of these things that you're doing to help overcome the effects of fibromyalgia.
Right.
What does the Florida Fibromyalgia and Chronic Pain Network do to support people who also have fibromyalgia or have questions and are not sure, but they think they have the symptoms?
Well, we have our Facebook page, which is how we are growing our community. And what our hope is, after we're done with the walks, is to start support groups in the area and to work with those support groups in developing networks of providers of needs, whether it's a doctor, whether it's a health food store, a massage, or you know, whatever people need. So we're working on getting a network together. We are associated with the national organization. I was actually trained by them in a program called the Leaders Against Pain Action Network. Mm-hmm. So I have a lot of national resources, and they quite frankly are behind this whole walk, because clearly it's not something that I could have done without them.
Right. I do want to give their website, which is fmcpaware.org. It's fibromyalgia chronic pain aware.org. You can also search it, but it's easier than spelling out fibromyalgia. fmcpaware.org. That's the national website. And there are a number of resources, and there's a tremendous amount of information there for anyone who has questions.
Yes.
Where did you go for support before you founded the Florida or network to help other people?
The silence is because I don't know that I specifically had a place to go, which is why I want to create the network.
Okay, I love it. So the perfect opportunity to see this in person and meet Ellen Rabb Wildman and talk to other people who are dealing with fibromyalgia and living with it every day and finding ways to cope and function at the highest quality possible is at this event shortly after Fibromyalgia Awareness Day. This is the Together Walk. And it's the inaugural Together Walk to raise fibromyalgia awareness on Sunday, May 15th at North Community Park. The address is 5601 Coral Springs Drive. Now, we're going to be there with you with Easy 93.1.
Am I allowed to be really excited about that on air?
Yes, you are. Yes, that would be okay.
It is just thrilling that Ellen has helped this happen or made this happen. It's really thrilling.
Well, a whole lot of people go together behind the scenes.
Yes, okay.
And we've just learned that Neutrogena is going to be on site with us handing out sunscreen samples. And we're looking at having some healthcare professionals there and making a health fair so that people can not only learn what it's about, but also get some of their own health benefits as well.
Yes.
Okay. So for someone to...
And if I may say that this is really what it's about. It's about getting help for yourself. It's about getting a support community behind you. It's about not having to rely just on your immediate family because they can't provide it all.
Right.
They just can't, you know. I mean, we need to be a community together.
Okay. Very true. So you can, where would you like people to call, or is it best that they go online or to Facebook to get the information to participate, to volunteer or offer services?
They can go to crowdrise.com, the Together Walk site there. They can, people can email us.
Okay.
At floridafibro@gmail.com.
Okay, floridafibro@gmail.com, and that's fibro, F-I-B-R-O.
Correct.
Okay, floridafibro@gmail.com.
They can go on our Facebook page, which is the Florida Fibromyalgia and Chronic Pain Network.
Okay. And, of course, there's the national site.
Yes.
Which, again, is fmcpaware.org. And you know what? I'm going to give my email, too, because you can find that at easy93.com in case you can't remember all of these different names and initials that we've given.
Which, of course, I would not be able to remember if I was just listening.
And it's very simply ellen@easy93.com. So I hope that we have been able to enlighten some people and bring some awareness today. And we're going to do a whole lot more of this on May 15th for the inaugural Fibromyalgia Awareness Together Walk. Ellen, you're fantastic. I know we need to get you to go somewhere now and be quiet and calm.
But thank you so much.
Thank you for sharing and being willing to tell your story to our listeners. I appreciate it.
Thanks on behalf of all of the chronic pain community.
Okay. This has been Easy's Community Focus. Again, you can contact us at ellen@easy93.com if you have questions or want to suggest a topic or would like to be involved with us for the May 15th Together Walk. Thank you.